We have a guest speaker this morning. Is a fellow that you probably all know by now. He's sharing office space over there. He's the man behind the sign that you see out front of Restoring Relationships. Wonderful ministry going on over there because he's using pastoral counseling to bring healing to people's lives. And that is just so fantastic. So I'd like to welcome Ray Ellis. He's going to be speaking for us this morning and next week. Okay.
Appreciate the time to be here this morning. And I'm glad you got to talk to Christian. I sent him a text yesterday. He never responded. I guess he knows it doesn't be nice to me either. But I just asked him if he was in California. So he worked hard. The series here that we're doing, just trying to get us to be like Christ, just trying to get us to understand that, trying to get us to understand the idea, the scriptural concept, that the way we treat others is the way God treats us. So how do we become like Christ in that? This, to me, is it not going? What do I need to do? Pardon me? Not like it used to, wait a minute. It might be me. Okay, tell me if that helps some. Okay. Crank it up, Scott. Okay. This to me is a transformation sermon. I believe that life is about transformation for the Christian. How do we become more like Christ in everything that we do? So first things first, that's what we're looking at. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. I'll give you some other scriptures. I'll give you that whole concept that I believe is right from the biblical point of view. But I want to take a minute here, and I just want to pray for your preacher, for his family, for their vacation time. I've learned the heart of Christian. He wants you to hear the gospel, to know the gospel, and to live the gospel. That's pretty basic. But he has a passion for that. So let's lift him up in prayer as we start here. Lord, you're awesome. You're mighty. Thank you for today, and thank you that, Lord, we can just look into your word and try to get the idea of forgiveness and how that all works in prayer. But Lord, I lift up Christian to you, Jenny and their kids, that they absolutely enjoy themselves, that their vacation is peaceful, restful, that they can visit friends, that they can see some of the world that you have made in an awesome style. And Lord, I just pray for your protection, for your guidance, and Lord, for the heart of the man there who cares about Northside Church of Christ. We just give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to say when we are done here, my wife and I don't usually like to cut out early, but we'll probably be leaving. Our son, our youngest Dakota, he's flying into Dayton. We're supposed to pick him up at 12:58. Okay, now I don't know if that works. He just was in a wedding out in South Dakota. You know, when you go to college and you make friends and they're from all over the country, all over the world type thing. So anyways, buddies get married, and the buddy's mom says, we're going to pay your way out to South Dakota. And so we went out on Thursday, going to get into there at 10:33 at night. So he texted us at 12:33 and said, I made it. So we don't know what time you'd be in Dayton today. But, you know, if you want to fly, it's a patience. You learn a lot about prayer sometimes in flying. My wife and I had the joy a few years ago to fly to Israel with a group from Cincinnati Christian University. Wonderful trip. But you fly across the ocean in the middle of the night. It's really quiet. Everybody's calm. You just get used to that airplane noise. And then something happens. They call it an air pocket. You know, the airplane's flying fine and the air underneath it ceases. I don't know how that works. Anyway, you drop about 650 miles, you know, it crashes, it wakes everybody in the plane up, and there's a lot of prayer. I heard the Lord's name mentioned in a lot of different ways, okay? But it wakes you up, it gets your attention. You're just pretty vulnerable in that plane, and then things happen. Well, life is that way too. Can you pray for others in the same manner you want God doing for you? What I pray for, am I praying for others in my work as a counselor? I think that we're going to talk about forgiveness today is probably the area that I see the most. People come in and they have trouble forgiving themselves of the past or the present. And they have trouble forgiving others who've hurt them deeply. They just can't get past that. It's so difficult. I know what the Scripture says. I've heard this many times. I know what the Scripture says, but I just can't quite get it. Sometimes we just need prayer warriors around us helping us with that. Several years ago, over here in a nursing facility, we had a wonderful lady who had been in that facility for years from middle age due to her health. She was in that facility. I met her because her mother was in our church at Spartanburg, and I went to meet her, and MS was what she had, so she couldn't even get out of bed without somebody helping her, get her ready in the morning, and I would take her our prayer list from the church, and it'd be by her bed. I'd be oftentimes be there in the morning before anybody actually got her up, which wasn't necessarily early, but she just had that list, just praying that. She always wanted me to bring my wife because she wanted to talk to my wife. She wanted to talk, but we talked about prayer. And I would take her just personal prayers that weren't on that list from the church, because she came alongside us as a prayer warrior. She had the time, maybe. She had the dedication to it. It was powerful. I miss her. But what is it to be able to talk to the Creator of the universe, one-to-one, and He hears us, and He responds back to us? But we're not always sure if He hears, are we? Sometimes we have a doubt. We've been praying and there's no answer. We seem empty. I hear that phrase, my prayers don't go any further than the ceiling. Things happen and we wonder, why doesn't God hear my prayers? Maybe you can agree with this old writer named Thomas Merton. Merton says, we make ourselves what we are by the way we address God. We make ourselves what we are by the way we communicate with God. In this text, Luke 6:37, it says, if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. What's first? You have to be the forgiver before I am forgiven. Strong words. If that's not when, if you look at the text. God knows my struggle. In this concept, Jesus gets into an idea many times. Recorded in Mark 11, if you want to read that, Jesus teaching about prayer. And His disciples are talking to Him about how He's cursed this fig tree and it's bad. And Jesus, they come back to the tree and it's gone. Jesus says, well, you can do that. You can do more than that. You can understand that what you pray for, you can pray for anything. He says in the text, if you believe, you'll have it. But, He says this to him, when you're praying, first, forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. When you're praying, first, forgive other people. And what's accomplished? Is it reverse of that? Say, if you can't forgive others, don't be expect to be forgiven. What measure is Jesus using here? He puts like on a scales. He says, okay, you're having trouble with your enemy. That kind of good. You can't forgive? Okay, that kind of balances the scales off, okay? How about if you're having trouble with someone close to you, your spouse, your coworker, your boss, your past, somebody in the past or somebody in your present, you forgive and you get that out of your life. That's number one. Or the scales are out of balance. See, Jesus used this measure that's pretty strong, pretty tough. On one occasion, Jesus speaks of this idea when He's asked by His disciples. The disciples say, teach us to pray. We get that in Matthew 6. Jesus says, you want to really know how to pray? Go to your room privately, shut the door, go away by yourself, pray to your heavenly Father in secret. He says in this text in Matthew 6, He says, don't be like those folks who pray out on the street corner, and they're loud, and they repeat those prayers over and over. They get their reward by other people hearing them. But you pray in secret, and you get a different kind of reward. You get a reward from your Father in heaven. He says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly, and He will reward you. That's a promise. It's all in there. Jesus tells the disciples exactly how to pray, and they'll have a reward. Secret, private, directly to your Father in heaven. The Matthew 6 text, we have the account of the Lord's Prayer, or we call it maybe the disciples' prayer. You could term that the way you need to, but our illustration from Jesus on how to pray. The forgiveness idea is repeated. You know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You learned it that way. Verse 12 of the text says, forgive us our trespasses, just as we have forgiven those who trespassed against us. Wow, tucked right in there comes this whole concept, doesn't it? You repeated that as the Lord's Prayer how many times? Does it ever strike you, whoa, that's really kind of important. It's kind of in the middle of the thing there. We might just struggle to get around this idea. I believe the disciples struggled with it. First forgive, then be forgiven. It's all tied together. But God, you say, you just don't know how I feel. Or maybe you say, God, you just cannot understand how bad this is. It's difficult to forgive certain people. Certain things have happened or are now happening. We may be able to forgive a stranger who hurts us, but how about when it comes from those closest to us? Those are the ones that hurt long and deep. Forgiveness is so important to God that He allowed Jesus to die on that cross. That's what we sang about, wasn't it, Tom? That's what we talked about. That cross, so important. We would not have forgiveness of sin had it not been for that. It's so important to Jesus that He says, I'm willing to die so that you can have that forgiveness. And what's one of the last things Jesus says on the cross? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Now, from our distant years after the cross, and we look back at those folks who took Jesus and beat Him and nailed Him to the cross and that, and we could say, how did they not know? How could they not understand that? The key reason for the cross is our relationship with God. We can't have that relationship that we lost because of sin until we accept that forgiveness that came from the cross. A relationship must be established that is without sin. It can't happen without the cross and forgiveness. It's a big deal. So when we're asked to forgive others, because we need that forgiveness, that relationship with God. So I can ask you the questions and you can fill in your own. Does a man know what he's doing when he rapes a woman in the middle of the night? Can we forgive him? Does a father know what he's doing when he goes into his daughter's bedroom and violates her time and time again? Can we forgive him? Does a person carrying a gun that robs a store, kills a clerk, know what they are doing? And should they be forgiven? Does a driver who crosses the center line of the roadway, hits an oncoming car head on, know what they are doing, or is it just an accident? It varies, doesn't it? It's sort of important if you read about it in the paper. It becomes a lot more real if it comes into your own life. A lot more real. It's easy to suggest to others that they forgive, but what about when it happens to me? You know the story. Years ago, a man with a gun came into an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania and killed children for apparently no reason. The Amish community came together and they tore down that schoolhouse, built it somewhere else because they didn't want to be remembered. But then they said to the general community and to others, we just ask that you forgive that individual. That's an understanding of what we're trying to get here. Huh? But when my spouse is caught in adultery, can I forgive? It's not even easy to forgive myself of thoughts that roll through my mind that are evil in nature that I cannot share with another human being. Can I take them to God asking for His forgiveness? And He says, have you forgiven others? Whoa. Because God can forgive all that list that we can talk about. The rapist, the father that's wrong, the gun toter, the murderer, the accident, the person who caused the terrible accident, all forgiven in the same manner we are. That's the God we go to, speak to in private. He wants and will forgive it each. His forgiveness is pretty important. Jesus teaching in the house, you know this story, and it's crowded, it's packed into the house, there are people outside, but there's a guy on a cot. He wants to come to Jesus, he can't walk, so he's got four buddies who take him up on the roof, tear up part of the roof, lower the cot down in front of Jesus, in front of that crowd, and what does Jesus say to that guy? I see your faith, your sins are forgiven. Why was that first? The guy's laying on a cot wanting to be healed, and Jesus says, you're forgiven. And the religious leaders around him say, whoa, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sin. And Jesus says, okay, which is tougher, me to forgive sins or to tell this guy, get up and walk? You decide. Then Jesus says, get up and walk. I love this part of the story because the house is crowded, right? The guys couldn't get in. But the story says the man picked up his cot. He didn't just leave it there. That's what I do, right? I don't need that anymore. No, he picks it up and he walks out through the crowd. Takes his cot, but he leaves his sins. Because that's how important it is. Which was more valuable? That relationship with Jesus, or the fact that he can walk? Which is more valuable? It's easy to see the sins of others and judge them. It's easier to do that than to ask forgiveness of my own sometimes. We say, God, you just don't know how bad my friend, no, my ex-friend hurt me. You just don't know. And Jesus says, I had a friend betray me once, and it hurt. It hurt. And we might say this, I might forgive, but I'll remember to my dying day. Yeah, that's what we do. Isaiah 43:25 says, it shows this measure that God uses, God's words. I alone am the one who blots out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. God says, for my own sake, I want this relationship with you so your sins are blotted out, gone, forgotten. That's the measure he's using. And what does he ask us to do first? Psalms 103:12. He has removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west. I need that first. Blotted them out. Those years of rebellion in my life, gone. Doesn't see that. There's a poet and author named Johanna Casper Latier. If you know Latier's work, it's pretty fantastic. He says this, who has not forgiven an enemy has never tasted one of the most sublime enjoyments of life. If you can really forgive an enemy, it's an enjoyment of life. I think he's right. Privately in prayer, speaking to the creative universe may be the only place that we can really talk about forgiveness sometimes. I believe sometimes we just nearly need to say to God, without your help, God, I'm not going to be able to forgive. Just can't. So I simply ask you, God, your spirit to show me the way. I can't achieve it on my own. You know this story of the unmerciful servant a king who calls his servants in. He wants to make understanding of their debt. A servant comes to him who owes the king $10,000, 10,000 talents, all different ways of translating that, lots of money. And the king says to the servant, I want you to pay me. But you pay me now. And the servant says, I can't. And the story says he fell on his knees and begged him not to throw him in jail, not to punish him for that debt. And the king, it says, had mercy, told the man to get up, your debt's forgiven. Clear now. The servant then goes out in the street, finds a fellow servant who owes him $10. Says, you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me now, or I'm going to have you thrown in jail. And the servant falls to his knees, begs him for mercy, can't pay. And the first servant says, nope, throwing you in jail. Throwing you in jail until you pay. Had every right to do that. The king heard that story, calls the first servant back in and says, wait a minute, I forgive you this huge debt, and you go out and find a fellow servant who owes you a little bit and you throw him in jail? I'm taking back my mercy and I'm throwing you in jail because you cannot forgive. And Jesus says, that's how the kingdom of God works. The way you forgive is the way I'll forgive you. That's the measure that God uses. Does God hear our prayer of forgiveness? Yes. As a counselor, I had the privilege, and I call this a privilege, of working with a couple one time. Infidelity of the wife caused a terrible situation in their marriage. Both wanted to save the marriage and move forward. The wife was very repentant. Long story. But anyway, the husband just could not forgive his wife. And each time we got to that point, that's where we stopped. Couldn't forgive. Finally, in tears, the lady said, my sin is terrible. What I did to my husband, my family was wrong. But the greatest sin is that now I've set up the potential for God not to forgive my husband because he cannot forgive me. She got the concept. Devastating. That's the way God works. Can we forgive even that hardest part of our life? When we fail to forgive, the real danger comes back to us. Being in a wrong relationship with Christ separates us from God. Does God hear our prayers of forgiveness? Do you ever feel that God has trouble with the relationship that you have with Him? Does God smile when you simply give comfort to another human being? Does He have joy when you simply smile to someone who needs a smile? Do you believe that Christ can be saddened and disappointed in you for not believing that He has forgiven you? Can we accept it? See? One writer has written this way, faith is the courage to accept acceptance. Faith says, okay, God, I accept the fact that you've accepted me. I accept the fact that you've forgiven me. There's an Old Testament story from the book of Daniel. Daniel, who's had an understanding, his country is doing some very wrong things. There's devastation coming in their future. He knows it, and he goes to prayer. For 3 weeks, he prays. He refused to eat rich food, drink wine, anything. He just develops and dedicates himself. That's the word. Dedicates himself to prayer every day. And has no answer. Till one day, his answerer comes. And his answer, it says, an angel comes to Daniel and says, I heard your prayer the first day. 3 weeks ago I heard your prayer. Now I'm here. I was detained by evil. There's a whole concept in that story if you read it. But here's Daniel who's come to prayer, seeking an answer, and he did not quit. His reward is the explanation. I hear you. The future for Daniel's country will not be good. That's what he's told. But through private prayer, Daniel understands. He has peace. He can forgive those around him who are making bad decisions against God, that affects their country. Daniel knew that God cared about him personally and about his fellow countrymen. Prayer was what got him there. I believe we can learn from Daniel today. Our country is in need of prayer. Our country is in need of us asking God to forgive us for the things we do. Now, you may not be the person who speaks out publicly against the wrong that's happening, but you can be the person who speaks privately to God about it and understands he will answer. First things first. Whom do you need to forgive? That's the personal question. God uses a very difficult, tough measuring stick here. There's a reward. Where there's forgiveness, relationships are healed and restored. The most important relationship is the relationship with the Lord himself. Absolutely nothing is worth jeopardizing that. No wrong that's ever been done in your life is worth jeopardizing your relationship with God. Now, prayer for that relationship. Pray for it. That's number one. Get that right. All else follows. Back in the back here, I have a little handout. Ask Christian if I could pass these out. Just kind of a daily prayer reviewing your day. If you would pick this up and just kind of gives you a little outline. If you're used to the way that you pray, that's great, but this will help you. This will give you some direction. And part of it is just a prayer in your sorrow asking for forgiveness. It's pretty cool. So maybe you would like to take that home. I believe that the church that prays can change the world, change a community. It doesn't have to be a church of thousands of people. It can be a church of very few people who go privately to God in prayer. Makes a difference. So we're going to have an invitation hymn, maybe just a time for you to really think about the words, I give you my heart. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord, you are awesome. Thank you for an understanding from your word. Lord, we need to be a people that can forgive, but it's not easy. I just pray that each of us can privately go to you and understand in our life what's happening and understand how we might need to seek forgiveness, give forgiveness to others. It's about a relationship with you, Lord. It's number one. The most important relationship in our life is the one we have with you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, mighty.